Merry Christmas. Yeah, if you, yes, for Jesus, happy birthday, Jesus, right? No, thank you guys, seriously. For those of you who do not know, yes, I had the pleasure of being born on Christ's birthday, so it is my 45th birthday today, so I appreciate all the birthday blessings and wishes, but this morning it's about Christ, amen. So if you have your Bible, open it, turn it to Luke chapter 2. While you're turning there, I just thought I would share some statistics with you from a study that was conducted back in 2018 concerning this time of the year, and see if you can relate to any of these numbers. Back in 2018, they asked 2,000 people if they felt stressed during this time of the year. Do you want to know how many said yes? 88% of those 2,000 people said that, yes, they felt stressed during this time of the year. 56% of them said that when they were around their family, they had to bite their lip. The top three topics that they avoided, politics, personal matters, i.e., are you going to get married yet? Or are you going to have kids yet? Right? Personal matters. And, of course, religion. But here's what really caught my attention. And Corey, you're going to feel really good about our relationship right here. The average couple has 7 arguments during this time of the year. I think we've only had 1. Yes. And what do they argue about? Where to go, money, family, cleaning, and cooking. Right? So there you have it. How people feel this time of the year. Now, you may be wondering to yourself, why in the world are you sharing those statistics? Because this morning, we're going to conclude our message series, Heaven and Nature Sing, with a Christmas carol that wasn't intended to be a Christmas carol. Joy to the World, written by Isaac Watts back in the 1700s. And based on this survey done in 2018, I left, you know, scratching my head, wondering, what is there really any joy in this world? Now, Isaac Watts, for those of you that do not know, he was kind of like the Bob Dylan back in his day. He was a very prolific songwriter. He wrote some 700 to 800 worship songs in a pretty short amount of time span. You might have heard a couple of those 800 songs or so that he wrote. His most popular ones, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed, When I Surveyed the Wondrous Cross, and of course, the one that we sung this morning, Joy to the World. All those are some of his most well-known. But like I said, Watts, when he wrote Joy to the World, he wasn't thinking about Christmas at all. In fact, when wrote it, he was thinking about Psalm chapter 98, and later on today or this week, I encourage you to read Psalm 98, because that was the basis that he took Joy to the World from. And it wasn't about Christmas, it was about Christ's second coming. It wasn't about his first coming. He wrote Joy to the World about Christ and his second coming. But when people heard the song, they knew that they were like, hey, wait a minute, this sounds like we could sing this during Christmas. Why? Because the very first line, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Or we might say in today's vernacular, has come. And it's very similar to what the angels told the shepherds that first Christmas night. You should already be there. Luke chapter 2. We're going to start out in verse number 8. This is what Scripture tells us. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. Everyone say, great fear. Again, if you highlight, circle in your Bible, I encourage you to highlight, circle, underline those two words, great fear. Verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Everyone say great joy. That will be for all the people. You see, so the angel commands the shepherds not to fear. And they are to replace their great fear with great joy. Why? Listen to verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's unpack this for a minute, because here's the awesome truth if you have not allowed yourself to take a moment and just bask or marinate in the truth of what God has done. God did not send, you know, a general or a judge. God did not send a reformer or even a governor, an educator or economist. No. Who did God send? God sent a Savior. And verse 11 is important because nowhere else in Scripture will you find those three words in one verse. Savior, Christ. Remember Christ? It's the Hebrew word Mashiach, for those of you that have been with us for a while. Messiah, Christ, and Lord. Those three words you will not find in another verse, one verse and throughout all of Scripture. God sent a Savior. Let's keep reading, verse 12. And the angels tell them, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, you probably do not need a doctorate degree to know or to understand that shepherding was not the most glamorous job to have. In fact, it was probably the least glamorous job that you could have. If you were a shepherd, guess what? You were with the sheep all day and all night. You had to protect them. You had to make sure that they had food and water, and you had to tend to any other needs that they may arise. And because you were with sheep all the time, and because you were outdoors all the time, guess what? You smelled bad. And because you smelled bad, you didn't hang out with other people. Other people didn't really want to be around you. And on top of it all, your job made you ceremonially unclean in this Levitical sacrificial system. Which makes this so interesting about this announcement, because God announced the birth of his son, the Savior, Christ the Lord, to a group of lowly shepherds at night on the hillside. Now, over the years, you might have heard several explanations and reasons of why this might be, why God chose the shepherds. Now, I believe, and we talked about this before, that more than likely these were the shepherds that watched the sheep or took care of the sheep that they used in Jerusalem for sacrifices. Bethlehem was only 5 or so miles away outside of Jerusalem. And more than likely these shepherds were tending and taking care of the sheep that would be used in the temple. But perhaps this morning, I thought, perhaps God announced the birth of his son, the Savior, to shepherds to show that joy, the joy Christ brings to us, can overcome any circumstance you may find yourself in this morning. Because what happens to us, especially in the 21st century Western world, we base our joy on circumstances. If things are going well, we say to ourselves, well, then we're joyous. And if things are not going so hot, well, then guess what? We lose our joy, which means if you lose it, it wasn't joy to begin with. It was happiness. But if anyone would have trouble finding joy in their life, in their lot of life, it would have been the shepherds. But the angel comes to the shepherds and it tells them, hey, rejoice. You have reasons to rejoice. And I'm here to tell you, you and I have reason to rejoice this morning as well. Because on that night, what the angel was trying to do was to shift the shepherd's focus. You see, church, when you and I are focused on temporal things, money, health, relationship, a job, a new car. Santa didn't bring me what I really wanted this year at Christmas. When we focus on those things, yes, they can make us happy. They can bring a sort of happiness to our lives, but when they fail or when they fall short, we lose that happiness. When we focus on temporal things, it's based on our circumstances. But when you focus, when your focus is rooted on what is eternal, things that never change, then guess what? Neither does your joy. So regardless of what a person may have said to you, regardless of what maybe medical test results you have been read, regardless of the bank statement balance in your account, you have reason to rejoice this morning because you're not focused on those temporal things. Your mind is focused on things above, on what is eternal. And that's what I love so much about Luke chapter 2. We're not given any backstory to the shepherds, right? I mean, because if I were Luke and I was writing this gospel, I think I'd want to share a little bit about the shepherds, who they were. What time of the season was it? No. Was it summer? Was it hot? Were they having trouble finding water? Are they in the winter? Is it minus 20 degrees? Are they struggling to stay warm? Did they have bills to pay? Do they have money to put on the food on the table? Were any of them physically ill? Were they had to go see the doctor for anything? You see, Luke doesn't tell us any of that because that's not what your focus should be on. Your focus this morning should be on what is eternal. And when your focus is on what is eternal, you cannot help but rejoice regardless of what circumstance or situation you may be in this morning. Woo. And as you do, you can't keep it in. You have to share it. Now I got permission to share this story. You know the old saying, be careful what you say around a pastor. It may be used in a sermon one day. But I got permission to share this story. Thursday night, Corey and I were just, you know, vegging out, watching some TV. I hollered at Caroline to come into the living room because I needed to ask her something. She walked in and gave the typical teenager response. I know, Dad. I was like, you know what? I haven't even said anything yet. Are you reading my mind? How in the world do you know anything? She said, I know, Dad. My math grade, I messed up. And I responded, what in the world are you talking about? That's not even what I wanted to share with you. Well, that day, her math teacher just happened to put in her grade for her semester test. And Caroline bombed it. And when I say bombed it, I mean I'm talking about nuclear weapon bombed it. Not some little missile strike. Okay, this was nuclear weapon bombed it. She bombed it so much that it brought her grade down from a B all the way down to a C, and that was what was going to be on her report card. And as she's telling me this, right, she begins to get a little bit teary-eyed. And I'll be honest with you, I was getting a little bit teary-eyed too. Because all my dreams and all my hopes, you know, because if Connor and Jaden don't make it, it's Caroline. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. All that's going out the window. But seriously, you know, here we are. We're having this nice, relaxing evening. And then bam, this hits, this happens. And as I wiped the tears off of my eyes, you know, I went to her bedroom and I told her, I said, honey, listen, it's going to be okay. I sent Mrs. Fry an email. And we'll just see what she says. Let's not freak out now. Let's wait until she responds back. And depending on what she says, then we can freak out. And you want to know something? The next morning, check an email. It's 8 o'clock. Like most teenagers, they're all three still asleep in bed because they stayed up God knows how long that night before. It's 8 a.m., and as I'm checking my email, I see there's an email from Mrs. Fry, and this is what she wrote, in all caps, oh my goodness, and 5 exclamation points, I counted them. I am so sorry, 3 exclamation points. I missed a keystroke, and it's all fixed now. I thought I double-checked my grades, and obviously not. Please accept my sincerest apology for any distress this has caused. I owe Caroline a giant donut when we get back. Listen, church, do you want to know what I did that morning at 8 a.m.? I woke her up. Right? I didn't care what time it was. I woke her up. Why? Because this was great news. I wasn't going to wait until she drug out of bed at 11 or 12 to tell her this news. No, I went to her and I said, Caroline, I got an email from Mrs. Fry, and guess what? She messed up on putting your grade in power school. You didn't make an F. You didn't bomb it. You made a 91. You made an A. And church, let me tell you something. You should have seen. Oh, yeah. Okay. Give God a hand, right? You should have seen her face, because she went from, why in the world are you waking me up so early, face? And it immediately transformed to, I'm so glad you're waking me up this early, face, right? Come on, somebody. The angel couldn't wait until the next day to tell the shepherds that the Savior had been born. No, the angel went that night to tell them the good news. The angel had to tell them now. The angel said, hey, listen, shepherds, don't freak out. I have something to tell you that can't wait till tomorrow. I have some good news that will bring you great. And in the Greek, that word great is megas, where we get our word mega from, right? I will bring you good news of great megas joy. But here's the catch. Yeah, there's a catch. You know, it's only great news. It's only megas news of joy, right? If you receive it. If you receive it. For example, you know, King Herod in the Christmas story, he was given the same great news. The wise men approached him, went to him, and told them the same exact thing. There's been a king born. And Herod didn't receive the news. No, he went the complete opposite. And he did that because he did not receive it or embrace it. But on the other hand, when the wise men heard the news, they received it. And this is what Scripture tells us. They rejoice exceedingly with great megas joy. Later on, when Mary and Joseph would take their baby Jesus into the temple to present him to the Lord, Simeon must have been the priest in the temple that day, and Simeon received Jesus into his arms, and he rejoiced and was glad. In fact, he said, I can die now. So how did the shepherds respond to this megas, this great joy, this news? Look at verse number 15 in Luke chapter 2. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known. They shared what they had been told. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You see, Christmas is truly good news of megas joy, of a great joy, but you have to receive it, you have to embrace it, and you have to become a part of it. This joy, it transcends all circumstances or situations. You see, nothing in the shepherd's circumstance had changed. Are you tracking with me? Right? They still had to go back to their job. It wasn't like God let them win the lottery. They still had to go back to work. They still had to go back to doing what they were doing before. They still had to go back to sleeping outside. They were still at that point considered ceremonially unclean according to the temple requirements. But there was a change on their inside, a change that no one or no thing could take away. And that is why, church, that we have to distinguish this God-given joy that the Lord presents to us versus happiness. Happiness depends on your circumstances, your outward conditions. When Caroline bombed her test, she was depressed. She was sad. She wasn't happy. But when she found out that she had an A, she became happy all of a sudden. When your favorite team loses at a bowl game or wins at a bowl game, listen, that's circumstantial situations. It's depending on things. But the joy that God brings us, the joy that God gives us, it runs deep inside the core of us and it radiates throughout despite what we may be going through. Does that mean that you won't be down sometimes? I'm not saying that. Don't mishear me. You lose a loved one, you lose your job, you have any kind of serious circumstance, I don't expect everyone to be like, oh, praise God, hallelujah. No, you're going to have a moment of where you're wrestling with these emotions, your flesh. But at some point, this joy that God has given you should come forth, should break forth and shine for everyone else to see. How? Why? I should say why? Because you understand that God is still at work, that he still sits on his throne, and I'm here to tell you, he's not done with you yet. And so don't believe the lies. The enemy tries to tell you, tries to fill in your brain. You're not good enough, that God doesn't care about you. You're never going to make it. You're never going to see things through. No, God's not done with you yet. And do you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said nothing, right? He writes to the Christians in Rome, Romans chapter 8, verse number 38. Listen to what Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you want to know something? I looked up. Oh, let's give God a hand of praise. If we want to clap. Amen. You know, I looked up that word, that phrase, nothing in the Greek, and you know what it means? Thank you. Yeah, nothing. You know, most days I don't like that word, nothing. Nothing seems to be going my way. I didn't get nothing, right? I know that's not proper grammar, but I didn't get nothing for Christmas. But let me tell you something. Here in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, nothing all of a sudden becomes my favorite word. Why? Because in the midst of what I may be going through, I know and I understand that Emmanuel, God is with me. Amen. Silent night, right? All is calm, all is bright. Jesus has entered into our world to save us from sin. And church, that should be our focus this morning. And when that's your focus, that should give you reasons to rejoice. And when you do, and as you do, you're not just going to keep it within yourself. You're going to share it with those around you. So this morning, today, you may feel unhappy. You may be dealing with a crisis. You may be dealing with a tremendous loss. But remember the message from the angel. I bring you good news of great joy. This morning I want to challenge you. Shift your focus. Stop looking at the temporal. Stop looking at your circumstances. Focus on what is eternal. Focus on Him. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. The carol has this line in it, and it goes like this: Let every heart prepare him room. How do you focus on what is eternal? You have to make room for it. If you're constantly feeding yourself what is temporal and what is around you, there's no room for Christ. And this morning, we want to take time to say, God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I'm making room for you. In the midst of the craziness of the holiday, in the midst of everything that is going on around me, Holy Spirit, I'm making room for you. And you know what the scripture tells us? That when you do that, he comes to you. When you do that, he says in his word, he says, I stand at your heart's door and I knock. And all I need you to do is open your door and I'll come in and I'll hang out with you. I'll pour into you. And so this morning, I believe with all my heart that Christ is knocking at your heart's door this morning. Whether you believe in him or you don't believe in him, whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or whether you've been saved just for 2 weeks, it does not matter. Christ comes to us and he knocks at each of our heart's door. And the question that you and I have to ask ourselves is, will we make room for him? And this morning, we've allowed some time for us to make room for him. As part of our response time, each and every week, we have communion up here at the front. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're not going to check a membership card, right? All we ask is that if you believe in Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior, you're free to partake. But maybe this morning, as part of your response time, as you come up and you partake of the elements, the cup of bread that represents his body, and then the cup of juice that represents his blood that was shed for us, maybe you just say a silent prayer to yourself before you partake of the elements. Lord Jesus, I'm making room for you today. Yeah, I have a lot of things on my schedule and what I want to do, but Holy Spirit, I'm making room for you today. Another part of our response time we have is the giving of offerings. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And as part of our worship, we want to give back to the Lord. Not out of duty, not out of drudgery, out of love. Because we want to make room for him. And I know it seems counterculture, but I'm here to tell you that sometimes in order to make room for Christ, you have to give. We have offering plates up here at the front as part of your worship if you'd like to give. If you're watching online, you go to our website, newheightsowasso.church. There's a link there that you could follow. If you want to mail a check, you can to the P.O. Box 1774. And then also you can text the word give to the number on your screen and you could give that way as well. But maybe we need to respond in giving. Last but not least, and then I'll pray. Maybe something that has been said in song or in word touched your heart and you want to have prayer. My wife and I are going to be right up here in front. If there's anything you would like prayer for this morning, we'd love to pray with you. If you would, church, please stand as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and what it represents as we celebrate you, Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and how we are so thankful this morning that you are here. And so, Holy Spirit, in these next few moments, we're making room for you. So as we sing, as we make your name great and known, Father, fill us. Come, sit with us. Speak to us. Pour into our hearts. Help us to focus on you this day and not what is on all around us. And Father, as we do, I know that you will change us from the inside out, that you will give us that great joy. So Spirit, do what only you can do in these next few moments. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Church, I love you.